Hello and welcome to a bonus GameSlave podcast. This week we have our interview with Tia Ballard, which was recorded at NDK 2013. You'll notice in the middle of the interview there is a bit of a break. At that time the fire alarm was going off, so we've had to cut that out. But please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Will Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm over here in OnDiscon doing a joint interview with
Assimilator from the Game Slave.
And Care Bear from the Game Slave.
And we're both interviewing
Tia Ballard.
So, would you like to start out?
Sure. For people who aren't uninitiated, Tia, how long have you been a voice actor?
I've been a voice actor 4 years. I think this year I started Valentine's Day 2009, Funimation Entertainment. It was a Valentine's gift.
Hey, Valentine's Day, that starts your career. That's not too bad.
I know. They owe me flowers every year, I think.
It's a fair trade.
So, how did you get into voice? What did you do before voice acting?
Well, okay, so I started out as an art major because I wanted to do creative things, but I was too shy to talk to anybody. So I became an art major, and I always had a love for Disney, so that brought me to the Walt Disney Company, Walt Disney World in Florida, where I worked for a time. But there I saw people doing exactly what they wanted to do with their lives, not caring what anybody thought. I was from a very small town. Everyone was a farmer. I graduated high school with 20 people. It was very, very small. So getting into cartooning and gaming and things like that, that's just unheard of. You don't do it. So it was at Disney World where I got to see, like, 6-foot-tall men carrying around Goofy backpacks. And they didn't care because they like Goofy. And it was amazing. It was an eye-opener. So that's where I thought, I'm going to get in cartoons. Yep. So I looked up cartoon places, and I saw Funimation Entertainment was 2 hours from where I lived back in Texas. So I was like, that's where I'm going to work. So when I got back, I jumped in the theater because I knew I had to. I had to get myself out there and hone those skills. And so it was my love of cartoons that brought me the theater and gave me this love of acting. And then from networking and talking to the right people and never letting go of that desire, I landed an audition and with Monica Rial, and it's been happiness ever since.
Since you said that you were influenced by Disney, were there any particular voice actors that you were influenced by?
Oh, absolutely. Tara Strong, obviously. She's brilliant. Jess Harnell is my favorite. If you don't know him, he plays Wacko in Animaniacs, or closer to my heart, Brer Rabbit.
Wacko's one of my favorites.
Oh, there you go. See, oh, I adore him so much. So those are definitely two of my favorites, but I mean, anyone who's paved the way for what I do, it's such a blessing to have so many people to look up to. Very, very talented individuals.
So, when you were working with Disney, were you a cast member?
I was a cast member.
Were you a face cast member?
Well, I am. Well, everybody who works for Disney is called cast members, even if you don't work in entertainment. I worked very, very closely with Brer Rabbit on Splash Mountain. I also did some character work. I was very good friends with and a few others. But yeah, I was kind of all over the park. I did a lot of fun stuff with parades and hanging out with guests. And yeah, Disney's my home for sure. Always my home.
What's been your fondest, best time or best experience while you've been in the booth recording?
Oh, in the booth. Gosh. That's a good question. Any of my experiences, really, my favorite thing happens, though, when I go in and everyone's already in, so I'm recording after everyone else, and the show is funny, and I get to hear all the jokes. That's my favorite. And a lot of directors actually test jokes on me. So they'll play the show, and if I laugh, they'll know it's actually funny. And if I don't laugh, they'll know it's not that funny, just because I'm one of those people that I laugh at everything that's funny, you know? So hearing what my fellow cast members get to do, that's amazing to me. I love that.
So what do you think of NondeskCon 2013 so far?
I think it's awesome. I'm having a really great time. The staff is really taking care of me. Colorado is beautiful. I've never been here before. I'm getting to see rain. That's glorious.
We're not normally this soggy.
I love it, though. It's amazing. Coming from Texas, this is amazing. And everyone's so kind and so loving. I've been surrounded by nothing but positive, you know, with nothing but positive people and positive energy. So it's amazing. I love it.
Do you ever wish that you could actually be working with the other actors in the booth instead of doing the recordings separate of them?
Sometimes it gets kind of lonely in there talking to yourself. You start to think you're crazy. If you stay in there long enough, you'll go booth crazy and start picking off the egg crate from the walls. People have done it. I've done it, actually. You open the door and you hand, you know, a piece of the egg crate to the director. You're like, here's your booth. Sorry. So, yeah, having coworkers in there with me would always be fun, I think.
Because that brings kind of, like, I guess, an energy to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You bounce off of each other.
So aside from your work with Funimation and what you've done before, and also in any other types of jobs that you do, do you do anything for charity?
I'm very involved with anything that has to do with the elderly and animals. I'm not affiliated with any particular charity right now. I do a lot of work with the shelters back home in my hometown of Paris, Texas, and different things around Dallas. I also volunteer at... See, now I'm all thrown off. No. Oh gosh, I've ruined the
question
already.
It's like something
already.
Old dog, something, no?
No.
Is it with dogs or?
At nursing homes,
oh,
I
nursing
volunteer.
Homes. Oh, that sort of thing.
You're like, the dogs, oh, the elderly, right,
yeah,
right.
Elderly dogs.
We should move on from this question.
Okay, since we're already kind of off subject, I'm going to go off subject for a bit. Reading your bio on the EDK page made me think of this question. So the cannibal said that you taste good. What did he actually say you taste like?
My.
Oh,
see,
no.
Tea flavored anything would taste good, I think.
Okay. I just found that entertaining on your bio.
Oh, well, thanks. Oh, yeah.
So, back, I guess, to charities. There's a charity that they have here at Nondescon that we're supporting called Stomp Out Bullying.
Oh, yes.
Is there any type of advice you could give to anyone who has been a victim of bullying or how to handle it?
Oh, my goodness. This thing got serious all of a sudden. I love it.
The alarms are going to go off in a minute.
I know, right? In the middle of any serious answer. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Well, my advice... I don't know if it's really advice, but I think it's very important to realize that it's all an illusion. You're not uncool. You're not insignificant. And once you reach a certain age, you control who you're around and you control how they affect you and how you let their words affect you. Just remember that you can always get away from those people. And I think it's very important as well when you have children to teach them not to bully. A lot of people are stuck on the whole, don't let yourself be bullied. And I agree with that. But I also think it's very important to spread the knowledge of, you know, to our own children or to the young ones in our life that it's not okay to bully other people. Never okay. And I think both of those messages are very, very important.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now to a less serious question.
Seriously. Yes,
we're like, okay, do you play over an ice cream?
Is there any job that you wish you could have been given had you had the opportunity to do it?
Yeah, there are a lot of things I'm interested in, but I'm a firm believer of anything I want to do, I can do it. I just have to set my heart in that direction, make a plan, and accomplish it. There are a lot of big dreams that I have for my future and things like that, and I definitely think of them with an eyesight. Oh, you want to know? So I was like, yes. A part of me always wants to go back to Disney. The committee is very, very important to me. Always has been, always will be. I'm getting into writing my own animations right now and developing those, and anything to do with animation is very dear to my heart. Just a lot of fun stuff. I have a very fun life and very fun interests. Though being Princess of the Mushroom Kingdom would be nice. I don't know if I can get that one, though.
Do you think they'll relaunch the Super Mario Super Show for you?
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Here, we can do that.
The only thing about that one is sometimes I've heard that the vacation times are only when you get kidnapped.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, going back to the animation. you're writing animation and stuff. Do you do any animation yourself?
No, I do not animate. Okay. I've learned that I can't do that very well. I don't have the patience to sit there and frame after frame after frame. And there's a lot of people that could do it way better than I ever could. But I'm studying writing animation right now, also storyboarding and character design. So I'm working on 2 shorts right now, and I'm pretty excited about them. Can't really talk about them because I don't want to jinx it. But I'm definitely playing with some very fun people. So, yay!
Are there any games or anime that you're playing / watching right now?
I'm actually... Okay, this sounds dorky. But I'm playing Sonic CD for the first time ever. I've never played Sonic games before. Yeah, in 2013, I've never really played Sonic games. I'm a Mario girl. So I got into Sonic, and it turns out it's really awesome. So I downloaded it. I downloaded Sonic CD on my phone, so I'm in the middle of that right now and really, really loving it. The game's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the convention. Okay, yes. Actually, one thing I've noticed at these conventions is that there's a lot of energy and everyone's very out and about when we're not being pushed out the building for fire alarms. Mm-hmm. And everything's like, people tend to be out of their shell, really vibrant and lively and such during the convention. But when they go back to school or work or whatnot, they tend to go into a little bit of a shell. Do you have any advice for how people can take that wonderful positive energy from the convention and apply it to the everyday doldrums of modern life?
Well, I think that the important thing to realize is why we're all here. And it's my belief that everyone's here to love, and everyone's here to be loved and learn how to love others. So many people are afraid that they're wrong for liking certain things or being into certain things, or someone's told them that they're wrong. And like I said earlier, all of that is an illusion. What's important to you is what's important to you, and you should hold that dear to yourself. And no matter what, just keep loving. Don't just love the people who love you. Love the people who challenge you and challenge them to go a step farther. Challenge them to love you by loving them. So that's my advice. I mean, I could sit here and give you a whole big long message about believing in yourself and all that, and it's so important to do those things, but just remember that if someone's angry at you, they're not angry at you. Or if someone's bullying you, they're not bullying you. They're hurting, and that's the only way they have to express it. And I think the best way to fight any sort of negativity is with just love, endless love. So that's what I have.
So I know from previous Q&A panels you've done, you and the other voice actors say you're happy when you get any part.
Yes.
When you get things like long-term stuff or leads, like you got the Happy the Cat role, did you have to do a double take when you got that proposal to take on that role?
Happy the Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was so happy when I got Happy. I was going through the audition sides, and I saw Urza. No, that's not mine. Lucy, maybe. And then I turned the page, and there was this little blue cat, and I was like, oh, that's him. I want him. He's mine. I have to have him. So went in there, did the lines. The director, Tyler, told me to bring it a little bit more high pitch, so I got to do eyes, and all different kinds of, like, happy, sad, mad, whatever. That was one of the challenges of the audition, was saying I in a lot of different emotions. And then I think it was like around Christmas of that year. I don't know why Funimation gives me cool things on holidays, but it was like Christmas that the director, Tyler, wrote me on Facebook and said, how do you feel about playing a little blue cat? And it was like, ah! So I was immediately so excited. I didn't have any idea how many episodes there were. Usually with anime, it's like 25 episodes, 13 episodes. So when I found out it was like this huge part, I was really excited. But just knowing that I got the role I wanted, I got this adorable little blue cat who's like the optimistic comic relief, which is me in my day-to-day life, I think, was just thrilling. I love it. But yeah, we're relieved to get any role.
So, anything you want to promote or promote?
Promote?
Yeah, anything you want to put out or anything.
Let me see. I've got a comic that is, I don't make money on. It's strictly for fun. funsies. It's Super Mario based, called Koopasta. It has been on hiatus for the past year, but it's up and running in the next month, so I'm excited about that. Sanka Rea, where I play Rea, the zombie in love, is coming out in December. Guilty Crown, is I think it may be out or it's coming out soon. And then, as always, the fairy tale movie, that's coming out in December. Something, I don't know if Sanka Rea is coming in December. I think Fairy Tale is, and then Sanka Rea is coming in fall. I'm not sure. Anyway, all those things I want to talk about. So, yes, those things.
Koopasta, is that KOOPASTA.com?
You got it. Koopasta. It's based off of a dish in Paper Mario, which is my favorite Mario game. Yeah.
All right. I have to think of one because that was the next question I was going to ask.
Oh, sorry.
Let's see if I can get anything.
Well, I have a question. Okay. How different is it between male characters and female characters as far as your voice?
As far as my voice? Like, yeah. When I do different, like, Happy's a boy and so-and-so's a girl? I can't go as... When you play girl characters, you want to go all over the place and you're happy and... Boys don't do that. Boys think that's lame. So when I play happy, I have to bring it down a little. And if I get too all over the place with my high-pitched voice, you know, the director's like, okay, bring it down. Remember, he's a guy. So it's more, even though he's high-pitched, it's more of an even tone. You know what I mean? It's more like that.
I think that's like, I'm surprised we didn't get the little time warning yet.
I know, we're making good time.
I did find one here then. If you had not gone into voice acting, what sort of jobs would you like to be having or would you like to be doing?
I can't imagine my life without cartoons. That's what's been important to me for as long as I've been alive. On my Facebook, there's actually a video of me at 2 years old singing the Mickey Mouse theme song. That's just me. That's just, it's so weaved into who I am as a person that I can't imagine my life. I wouldn't be alive. If cartoons didn't exist, I would not have been born.
So one way or another, it was happening.
Yeah, it was happening. I'd be somewhere in the industry doing something.
Background pony number five.
I actually like your thesis, the psychology of character
design. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm a counselor in training, so it's like where my head is at. I'm like, I wonder what people think when they're, you know, going through these characters and how they feel.
You learn a lot by looking at what types of characters people are into.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing. People relate to characters that go through what they go through. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I have a character on Rosario Plus Vampire. Her name is Mizide, and she's shy. She's very, very shy. And I found that most of the people who love that character are shy in their real lives, so they connect with her on a very deep level. I'm fascinated by that type of connection that people can make with animation. That's why I love animation so much. Very cool.
I think that's what I like about it too.
Yeah, totally. And you can also judge a person by who they play on when you play Mario Party, who they pick.
Mm. Who do you pick?
Yes.
Princess Peach.
Of course. See?
Oh, looking forward to Super Mario 3D World?
Always.
The Wii U?
Anything Mario related.
Oh, that one you can actually play as like Princess Peach in, finally, in a normal game.
There's like, what is that game with Peach? It's like all about
Super,
Peach.
Super Princess Peach. Yeah.
I've never played that.
What?
I know. When I wanted to get it, I couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, there's a Toys R Us over that way that's got for like 30
Really?
Bucks. Yeah,
in Aurora. I'm going to have to go make a stop then, because last time I looked, I could not find it anywhere.
On the way to the airport.
Yeah. Just swing by Toys R Us and be like, what is the stuff in here?
Speaking of your thesis, what is your degree in?
Oh my gosh. I have, let's see. Let me try to remember. Bachelor's? Okay, wait. Got my associate's. I've got a bachelor's in theater with emphasis on communication and speech. Boom.
Cool.
Yeah. I did a lot of work.
So, what would that? I missed the panel on the character design thing. What are some really quick five things that a good character design needs?
Oh my gosh, really?
Sorry.
You just come out of the blue with that question?
Yes.
All right, let me think. Man, I don't want some animation guy writing me and be like, hey, what's up with this? That's wrong.
I'm the MIDI right now.
All right,
like,
okay. Let's see. Let's just think together on this. He or she, I think, needs a strong voice. They need a well-rounded personality. They need something that they're striving for, something that they believe in with all of their hearts. It doesn't matter what it is. Even Mickey Mouse has things that he believes in and things that are fundamentally weaved into who he is, the fabric of who he is. It was like three. What else you got? What do you think? What do you think? What makes a good character? Good relationships.
You may always have to be relatable on a...
Relatable on a personal level. Yeah. It's very interesting. Even as wacky as cartoons are, there's a structure to their lives, no matter how silly they are. So that's why cartoons are awesome.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking something like is there like a specific character design? Like, okay, these types of characters for this have to be this kind of shape, that type of thing. Like the science of feng shui.
I'm sure that if you got all these cartoon characters together, you would start to see a pattern of character design and things like that. But I think that as soon as you start putting laws and rules on things, that's when the fun goes out of it. I think that no one expected, for instance, SpongeBob SquarePants to be such a mega hit that it was. But I'm sure that when they started making SpongeBob, they didn't expect it. It's like, wow, a sponge underwater, this is not going to be successful. And it blew up when it came out because it broke those rules. We never had a character like that before. So I think gooey on rules.
I am running out of questions.
I ran out of questions years ago. What's your favorite part of Denver so far?
The rain. No, I really love the mountains. I've never really seen mountains before, ever in my life.
Well, one cool thing about the mountains is we know where West is at all times.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It is so useful.
We drove, and then there was like this fence, and they were like, it keeps the rocks from falling on the cars. And I'm like, what? That's amazing. That's so cool. That fence is my favorite part.
It's like, it's the fence that keeps people alive.
Yes.
The animals wait for the cars.
Yeah.
There's actually one pass going between here and Glenwood Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They actually built it around like pre-existing fauna in order flora and fauna in order so they didn't have to disturb trees and such when they're doing this path.
Wow.
But that is not nearly as fun as a road, and this is its legal name on the official map, and you can look it up. Oh my God, road, and it is rightfully named.
It's like one of those white knuckle roads.
Oh,
that's funny.
You're like, where are the guardrails?
It's technically
I'm gonna die. That's amazing. I love it. That's cool.
We're wrapping it up, I guess.
Awesome.
Right? Thank you so very much for the interview.
My pleasure. And you can follow me on Facebook, Tia Ballard, voice actress, or Twitter. Tia Tooney, TiaTooney, or Instagram, but whatever.
Thanks, Tia. We really appreciate your time today.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with me. You guys are awesome.
This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, with Radio DMG and
Assimilator and Care Bear from the Game Slave.
And we've been talking to
Tia Ballard
at NondeskCon 2013. And good night.
Good night.
Game on.